This wasn't no movie. The smart thing was to say yes, get up, and leave the room. But then I thought to myself, what if this was a movie? Look, you, the plane you flew in on, them shoes, your socks with the bell on it, your gay ass accent, them cheap ass cigars, your yuck mouth teeth, your hairpiece, your chocolate, Guy Ritchie, Prince William, the Queen. This is America. My president is black and my Lambo is blue, nigga. Now get the out of my hotel room. And if I see you in the street, I'm slapping the out of you.
Fourth pack is back, cause I'm mass destruction. Guess who's here? The bad boys arrest me. Just in competition when the war does the mission. Not no mercy, see the rain start the street. If you don't know, you better find out the war pack. Prove a point, number one, best believe that you don't want to tussle with them. I'll be there for them, I'm coming to green with them. You're never walking out again until you're back on the wolf pack.
Wolf pack in the house. Yes, you are listening to the Click Nation podcast. I'm your host, Tim D-O-double-G, and I'm joined tonight by my brother, Mr. Adam, well, the Adam Black.
Hey, what's up, y'all? And let me get seriouser with you right now. Yep, seriouser, man. That's going to be the new catchphrase.
And we're also joined tonight by Mr. Banff.
Evening, bitches.
The best saying in the 2012 right there, people.
Exactly, motherfuckers.
So, of course, you can follow us on Twitter at TheClickNation. And my Twitter account is TimDOGG98.
Mine is TheAdamBlack with underscores between everything. The_Adam_Black.
And mine is Mr. Banff. That's MISTABAMF. Even though I don't fucking tweet. But I got a Twitter page. Hold on.
But he's there. Just in case.
I'm there just in case. Follow me, bitches. Follow me.
And together, along with our missing comrades, we form The Click Nation. And of course, our website is www.theclicknation.com. And we can be found there and along with our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/TheClickNation. Our Google Plus page, just search for Click Nation. And we're on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. So, fellas, how was everyone's week so far?
Tiring, man. Tiring. Working double two jobs, you know, always sucks. But at least I got a little bit of time off before I have to go back.
Got to make that money, nickel.
Exactly. And
Banff, I heard you're off this Thursday.
Man, like I say, as soon as I make it to Thursday, I will be off for 5 days, taking a little time off from the JOB to recharge the batteries. So
nothing wrong with that. I took last Friday off. And actually, I'm off this Friday because it's my birthday, bitches.
Bitches.
Yeah, he's getting his birthday's on 420, y'all, and he's not gonna get blazed.
He doesn't smoke weed.
Nah, since I don't like smoke and it always seems to mess my eyes up.
Right. That's the point.
I get to spend the birthday at a wedding rehearsal.
Oh, that's always fun.
Yeah. I'll actually be down there this weekend to hang out with y'all.
Oh, awesome.
Oh, cool. That'll work.
And yeah, we were thinking about BBQing this weekend, so it's even better.
At the crib.
Oh, that's what's up. At the crib? At the Click Mansion? Adam's Manor? We'll be there, nigga. Like I said, I will be on that damn grill, bitches. Cooking.
Cooking with that's the Click. The plan.
And, you know, now that you've told me, I must inform my wife immediately after this that you're coming. I nearly got in trouble last time. You know, like, you didn't tell me he was coming. I'm like, I thought I did.
I'm about to say, did I even tell you I was coming last time?
Yeah, you had told me. I waited until like that Friday to tell her.
Oh, okay.
But
I can text her too.
Yeah, text her now. You know, I can text her now if you like. I was like, hey, you know, Tim's coming down this weekend because you know his birthday is Friday. He's going to be in a wedding rehearsal, so don't freak out.
Exactly. But we always behave when we're at the Casa de Black.
Casa de Black. The Casa de Negro.
Yeah, the Negro. She enjoys our company. She just likes to be made aware of things.
Yes, exactly.
That's right, people. Don't think she's like, you know, crazy and don't like, no. She just wants, she wants to be like made aware ahead of time so she can plan accordingly.
Exactly.
Just our stats.
So I guess that's enough catching up with the click. Hopefully everyone enjoyed the previous episode titled Tales from the Click. I know classic materia from the Cold Slither podcast left a nice review on the comment section for the last episode. And General Geekery, JD, also had some nice stuff to say.
Oh, awesome.
Cool.
Now, so you need to check iTunes, see if we have any reviews from that, but I'll check that later. First, let's talk about some news.
News, bitches.
All right, it's the news, and yes, I am the Adam Black, senior correspondent. Because I'm the oldest. Anyway.
Are you?
You're the oldest? Yes. Now, three of us, yes.
Well, I know I'm the youngest, but.
Yeah. I think Walker's the oldest, other than Reggie, I think.
Yeah.
And hopefully in the future we'll have Walker on the show. As I put in the line in the notes for the post on the previous episode, we tried unsuccessfully to get Walker on the show, but since he was trying to call in from work with a bad connection, that didn't go down.
Yeah, we're going to make some efforts to at least get it. May be one of those things where we may not be able to have more than four on at a time, but you know, we'll see what we can do.
Yeah. That's what we do. We're the clique.
Let's be real. It's going to be us three for the foreseeable future.
That's why we love Tim. He's honest as hell. Damn it.
I've told my wife and friends before, I'm like, well, you know, the difference between me and my brother, Tim, is the fact that, well, I try to consider people's feelings and I try not to say things, and
man,
Tim will just go
that.
Ahead and say it.
Like, exactly. Fuck that. Fuck your feelings, bitch.
I have a filter.
When?
I just make sure when I speak, I make sure to, you know, if it comes to that point, I just come out and say it.
See, this nigga just laid a whole line of bullshit on us, America. So don't listen to Tim. He has no fucking filter. He doesn't. Yeah.
Don't believe that, listeners.
But that's why we love him, because you know he has no filter.
I mean, this is one day this was many moons ago. This was a younger clique altogether. We were going to the mall to get something to eat, and I'm parking the car. There were some girls driving by, and they were just had the radio blasting, and they were yelling and stuff. And all of a sudden, my brother just yells out at the car, "Hoes!" And then, like,
no, it was more like, "Hoes!"
Yeah, he's got the deep voice. Fortunately, I was not blessed with that. Unfortunately,
boy, he put that Barry White on him. Hoes.
The good old days. I remember that.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Hey, a freebie click tale.
Yes.
See, we told you last week we had plenty more stories.
Mm-hmm.
They'll trickle out as we see fit to share them.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
Let's how you handle this. Not for news. News, Rodney, news.
News. All right. I just went through. We're just going to do, a round robin. We'll see what we're going to talk about and discuss. This past week, Bill Cosby discussed his views on the Trayvon Martin tragedy.
And what did he have to say?
Let's see. He basically said that it's the gun's fault and not exactly race. And, you know, let's see, this and what he is doing with it and who taught him and told him to behave with this, it doesn't make any difference if he's a racist or not a racist. You know, basically the gun, was the fault in this case. And, you know, you have to remember that Bill Cosby lost his only son back in 97 due to gun violence. So he, you know, he definitely has a stake in something like this happening. But, the interview can be found at CNN.com if you want to check it out. It's always good, especially now that, you know, everyone thinks that Bill Cosby's like some crazy lunatic. But it's not true. He just speaks his mind, and a lot of what he says makes sense to me.
You have to remember, Bill Cosby is an old man now, mm-hmm. and once old people get to a certain age, they just say what's on their mind and don't care.
Right, right. You know, I mean, yeah, I mean, because I listened to the interview, and yeah, he makes some valid points. I personally still think, you know, racial profiling, racism still has something to do with it. But I do understand what he's saying. You know, once you're given a weapon, you automatically automatically look for, or even subconsciously look for a reason to use it. You're more fearful of people who are like around you and things like that. So you're more inclined to use it if you have it. You know, I totally understand where he's coming from. But, you know, I mean, still, you know, it's still racial profiling. It's still the same thing. Young black kid with a hoodie, automatically he's a thug, he's a threat. You know, I don't give a damn how anybody else feels about that. That's how it is in America. You know, if you're a young black male and you're wearing, if you can walk around with a hoodie on, Japan sagging, you know, you're automatically perceived as a thug, as a threat, you're going to rob somebody, it's sad to say, but that's how that is. So.
And that's true. And, you know, you spin off that even some more. This is carried over to the NBA in this, in the, what, the last 10 years, you'd say, Tim, where people automatically think a lot of them are thugs. And that's the word a lot of them say, like, especially like old men or whatever.
Yeah, even old black folks will say,
a
certain way.
Yeah. They're nothing but thugs because they got tattoos and they, you know, speak their mind and stuff like that. But you know, I hate the labeling of and the word thug. You know, that's just me.
Yeah.
All right. Hey.
Yeah, what is
Go ahead. Oh, you were about to say something, Larry? I'm sorry.
Oh, no. I just said I can agree with that. You know, I can get down with that.
Thank you, sir. Let's see. The next news is, I think this came through yesterday, on the 16th of April. DreamWorks is in talks to pick up Need for Speed. DreamWorks is in negotiations to pick up Need for Speed, the racing project based upon the EA video game. Speed is billed as the most successful video game franchise in the world. The latest incarnations feature a cross-country race. Car racing movies have mostly been the domain of Universal, which has nurtured its Fast and Furious franchise since 2001. If DreamWorks' deal for Speed goes through, it will mean another contender on the raceway. What do you guys think?
Well, okay. If I see another video game movie, I'm going to fucking scream.
You enjoy Prince of Persia?
Hell no. Hell no.
Or Doom?
Hell no. I was pissed off. Let me tell you how I'm pissed off. Let me tell you why I'm pissed off at Princess Persia still. Then I get to that fucking Need for Speed bullshit. I'm pissed off at Prince of Persia because we decided to cast it as the Prince of Persia, a fucking white man. Don't get me wrong, white people.
He got a tan.
You know, I don't give a damn you got a tan. I got a tan. That don't mean I'm Persian. I ain't Persian. You mean to tell me you can find one Middle Eastern actor that is running around, that's talented, you know, that speak, you know, that you could have put in that role, and he could have been the Prince of Persia? No, you won't get Jake Gyllenhaal.
Star power, man. That's all it is. Star power.
I don't give a fuck. You could have put The Rock in there if you want to star power. Hell, at least he's black. At least he's ethnic.
If you smell what the prince is cooking.
Right, then. All right. But, you know, but I mean, that's neither here nor there. And white people, don't take me wrong. I love you. I do. Y'all, but we should not have cast a white man in the role of a Persian dude. We are way ahead of that bullshit. It is not.
You already get enough roles as it is.
Say what?
The white folks.
You know, I mean, you know, gone are the days where Sinbad was a white guy. Gone are those days. Damn it. But anywho, Need for Speed. Do we really need another car racing movie? I mean, because all the other ones kind of sucked. Other than
It's not going to surpass Fast and Furious franchise in my eyes.
It's not. Let's face it. I mean, how many others are there that we were all like, okay, why are we even, you know?
Jason Statham is Need for Speed.
That's probably the only reason somebody would actually go see it if he was in it. But I mean, hell, you had what was it? Red Line? Is that the name of that shit?
Yeah.
That shit. You know, I mean, they even tried to sport, like jump out, go out into like motorcycles with biker boys, and
there's a couple of biker movies.
Oh, what about your favorite? What was the name of that movie, Larry? Torque.
Oh God,
is that the one with the chick from My Name Is Earl?
She's in that movie. And that movie's listeners, if you've never seen the movie Torque, please rent it now and then leave comments. Let me know what you think. It is probably the worst movie I've ever seen in my life. And I've seen some bad fucking movies in my time. That shit takes the damn cake. I had to finish it just to see if it got worse.
Remind me of Fastlane, the TV show. Even though Fastlane really wasn't like that, but it had like fast cars and hot women and stuff,
and but they kind of had that, like, I don't know, the way it looked. Period. What do you call it? Is that cinematography, Larry? That is it.
Cinematography.
Yeah, I mean, it looked like just nothing but eye candy. That was it.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's like, like if you had a spoon, you could eat it. Eat the screen.
Oh, yes. Sugar.
Put some sugar on my tongue.
Oh, wow.
Oh, it's from a song.
Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't think we need a Need for Speed movie. I personally don't. But hey,
is it because of the movie or video game factor, or is it just strictly because of the car factor? You think it's pretty much done car factor?
Yeah, I mean, what can you do in that movie? I mean, it's going to be fucking Cannonball Run.
Eastbound and Down? No, right. that was Smokey and the Bandit. I'm sorry.
Yo, the season finale of Eastbound and Down was this past Sunday night.
Isn't that the series finale of it?
That's been the rumor, and supposedly what HBO said, or Will Ferrell, whoever's behind the show. But then before the show started, it said the season finale of Eastbound and Down.
How many episodes? Was it six episodes?
Yeah, it was another like short season, like six or eight, whatever it was, episodes. I'm kind of behind on episodes, I gotta say, but I did watch the season finale. It was funny.
I watched part of the season premiere. I mean, Larry, if you could see Danny McBride in that show, you would. I mean, it's one of those shows. It's like a drama, but it's a. He shoots so straight from the hip that you're like, damn, that's fucked up. Why did he say that? Right. But it's funny. I mean, you have to watch it. I mean, it's billed as a comedy, but it plays to me sometimes like a dark comedy or a drama in some cases. But you know,
well, see, Rodney, that's the thing. You don't have the fucked up sense of humor that we have. I mean,
I have it. Dude. Definitely,
trust me. Dude, really,
you look, same sense of humor.
Yeah.
Okay, so if an old lady fell down the street and broke her jaw, would you laugh?
Probably not. I'd be like, well, are you okay? And like,
I'd be like, God damn, you fucked your jaw up, lady.
The new Chiller, Tim, wouldn't laugh. Not at the moment. I tried to save it.
Sorry, I'm sorry. I'm still the same old degenerate I've always been. Mm-hmm. I'm getting too old for it. I really need to stop.
Now, keep you young and vibrant.
Right.
Let's see.
I may check it out. I'll check it out.
Yeah, what else you got, Rod?
Well, we'll see if y'all want to talk about mobile payments won't replace cash or credit for another decade. Basically talking about how the apps, you know, how people think that eventually you'll just go to Walmart, wave a cell phone in front of the little keypad or whatever, and it will automatically...
You can pay from your phone. My boss has.
I know it's possible now, but you know it's not going to be universal where everyone's going to have to do it.
Yeah, that's going to take a while I don't think a lot of people probably won't be that comfortable with that. So yeah, got to give them a little.
And plus, stores will have to get the technology to be able to do it,
and keep your information safe too.
Right.
But that's an ongoing issue.
Right.
It shouldn't be any different from just how they saved the swiping of a credit card or scanning of a. So I guess you don't scan a credit card, you have to swipe it.
Yeah.
Right. Right. And that's an expensive thing to actually retrofit your stores to actually be able to do that. That's expensive. So, you know, especially when you like Walmart can afford it, but hell, how many does Walmart really want to do that in all their stores right now? Is it feasible? You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, if it's not economically feasible to do it now because, you know, not many people are doing that, you know, that's going to take a while. So,
yeah. All right. Let's see. The next thing is about this came out today on Variety. Video viewers are choosing tablets over smartphones to look for videos, to look at their videos, which is kind of a duh because, right. You know, if you want to look at a movie or something like that or a video, you would look at your iPad or whatever to get the information. They did say that TVs are pretty much safe because, you know, nothing's going to beat a TV. You know, if people have a choice between a tablet, a smartphone, and a TV, they're still going for a TV.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a dull story. We don't need to talk about that. We everybody kind of know that.
All right. Today, the check the Siegel and Schuster got for the rights for Superman sold at I think Sotheby's auction house for $160,000. Guess how much that check was worth for the rights for the part wasn't of the like, rights to the Superman?
Wasn't it like $100 or some shit like that?
$130.
Yeah.
Man, good God! I mean, whatever. Just like that. Man, that shit still shocks me today. I was like, wow. And you know, at least they got part of the family's getting part of the rights back, even though I think they're still arguing that crap into court.
All right.
In other racial news, ABC's The Bachelor is being sued for racial discrimination. A group of Nashville residents led by football players Nathaniel Kelly Brooks and Christopher Johnson, not Chris Johnson from the Titans, some other guy. They're bringing the producers to task because of the fact that there has not been a contestant of color in either The Bachelor or The Bachelorette.
And you said this suit involves former NFL players?
Well, basically, let's see. One of them's a college athlete, and one Clay is a linebacker. Okay, Clay Brooks is playing for a minor league team, and Johnson is a wide receiver at Tennessee State and is preparing for the tryouts, you know, for the NFL.
Right.
But they're basically just bringing – I don't know if they were trying to be a contestant or whatever, but
– Yeah, because that's my question. Like, I'm like, why are you – I mean, are y'all just randomly suing? But you know what I'm saying? It's like that's odd.
Yeah. It probably would be smart for the Bachelor to have at least one non-white contestant to be the Bachelor.
Yeah. The problem is now if they do it, it's going to be like, oh, well, you just did it because you got sued. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, the retaliation defense basically is like, well, all right, we'll have a black guy or, you know, even if – well, I don't know. I never watched the show. I could have sworn they had, like, a Hispanic person before.
They've had black people as the –
contestants.
Yeah, the contestants, but not the actual Bachelor.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think the show's been on, what, 10 years? Like 23-something seasons?
Yeah, they probably ran through like 20-something seasons by now because they have like two seasons every year.
Yeah. So.
I mean, it is smart to do it. I mean, it's just, it's not smart. It just makes sense. You know, this is a diverse country. You need to have, you can't tell me that they're, well, I don't know. The Bachelor is supposed to be a successful person, right? Or some crap.
I guess.
Yeah, they went from having, some half, maybe millionaires or very rich people to, I guess, they went from having I guess that the NFL player Jason Palmer, I forget his first name, that went to school at University of Florida. He was, I guess, the most he was an athlete, and they mostly had like oil tycoon sons and stuff like that.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's a diverse world. You can't tell me that there isn't a successful black person or Hispanic person or Indian person that couldn't participate in this show.
There was a boom.
You know what? I mean, this is – and I hate to sound so not caring, but I could give – not. I just don't give a damn. Not because I don't give a fuck about the show, because I think it's just a ridiculous and stupid premise.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't want to be on the show.
The gist of it when it started was to find your mate and then for them to get married. And I don't think that many of them have actually gone on to get married.
The chick that was the first Bachelorette, I think she's still married, I think. What's her name? Tristan, I think.
The first Bachelorette. Or one of the first Bachelorettes.
Yeah. I think she was actually the first one.
Okay.
Because she was on The Bachelor, and she got to the final two or three and didn't make it, but her character was so popular, they opted to have her be the first Bachelorette. I think, or it may have been the second one, but I'm not sure. But yeah, she became the Bachelorette, and she married the guy that won the show, and I think they have a kid together and everything. So, but yeah, I mean, it could be a whatever, but it's important for race.
But I think it's more important things dealing with race to worry about than this ridiculous ass show. You know, I mean. That show in the long run is not going to do a damn thing for race relations if you put a black person or a Hispanic person or an Indian person on that show or an Asian person. We got better shit to worry about than the fucking Bachelor or the Bachelorette. We do.
That's a good point.
That's my opinion.
And you're sticking to it.
I am.
Next.
Uh, Well, The Rock is going to host a, some type of – well, he isn't going to host a show, but he's producing a show with his former wife and business partner, Danny Garcia. The show is called The Hero, which is a competition show that heavily integrates social media to discover the next hero. Three teams.
We need a hero. Hero. He's got to be strong. He's got to be fast.
Wow.
Hero.
Continue. Oh, stop.
Basically, there's three teams of ordinary people are set on high-stakes global adventure across three continents to prove what they are able to overcome, sacrifice, and undergo for the strength of their group. The Rock will be I think from what I'm reading, he's basically going to be a motivational speaker for these people, which if you follow him on Twitter – that's what he does on a daily basis. You know,
he's gonna walk in there like, what's the chick on America's Tyra Banks? He's gonna walk in like Tyra Banks, and basically just oversee the stuff and show up for the elimination rounds.
Right.
I mean,
walk in, boost the asses, and then leave.
Yeah, I mean, but basically. But he's going to also host the show or promote the show through social media and use these tools during every facet of the show's development, pre-production, casting, the location, and live broadcast. And it just goes on to talk about The Rock's achievements. Looks like it could be a good idea. You never know, especially reality TV and competition shows are just going to be – they're going to be with us for the next 10 or 15 years.
True that.
I might watch that. Is the name of it, the show is going to be called The Hero?
Yeah. Hmm. But you never know. They could wind up changing, eventually.
I was going to say, instead of being the next action hero, I want to be trained to become a real life hero.
Like the, talking about like, with a cape and everything.
Yeah. I want to be like those guys on the, was it the HBO or
documentary? Yeah, that, no, Tim, you can't do that. No,
be like, what's the old boy in Seattle's name? It's like Phoenix Jones or something.
Oh, man, I forget those guys' names.
Yeah,
Phoenix Jones. I forgot all about Phoenix Jones. God bless him. That kid's crazy.
But yeah, that's talking about real hero.
Right.
I need to be bit by a radioactive spider.
No. Because knowing our luck, if you get bit by a radioactive spider,
you'll actually die.
I'll get cancer. And
or you might look like a spider, for real.
Yeah, I'll get the six arms and none of the cool storylines of the Peter Parker.
Yeah.
Right. Sorry, dude.
Kirsten said goodnight, by the way.
Good night, my Kirsten. Niece.
Good night, Keystone.
All right. That's my stepdaughter. All right. Let's see. J.M. I never get this guy's name right. J.M. comic writer.
Or however you say his name.
No, not him. J.M. DeMatteis. I want to say his name a different way. I think that's it. He's a great comic book writer. For years, he actually wrote a treatment for a Daredevil movie before the movie that came out back in 2003. And he posted it online. We could put the link maybe or reference it. I think it was on his blog, jmdematis.com. He posted the treatment for it. He didn't write a script, I believe. He just wrote a treatment for the movie. That was when Chris Columbus was in talks to produce the movie. And with a little help, he wrote a treatment. I read some of it earlier. It basically followed a traditional Daredevil origin story. One thing that whenever y'all read it, you'll notice that there's lots of comic book creators mentioned as characters in the you had a person There was a DeFalco. There's a Nascenti for, you know, former Marvel creators littered throughout the script. So, you know, it's definitely worth a read.
Hmm. I'll check it out.
And, well, the NFL schedule came out today, folks, and I'm happy because the Atlanta Falcons are going to be in prime time a few times this year. They got the second Monday night game of the year as they take on Peyton Manning, who is now a part of the Denver Broncos.
And it's a home game.
Yeah.
Good to see Peyton in the dome.
And the Falcons may be on Hard Knocks, which probably will be the most boring season of Hard Knocks ever. But still.
Oh, yeah. Hard Knocks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I basically don't give a crap about the schedule being released today. I guess it was kind of interesting to see, you know, when each opponent comes from which week and when the bye week is, because everyone already knew who everyone was playing. It was just a matter of where it all lined up in the weekly schedule.
But yeah.
The only thing I really care about is the draft coming up. That's the only thing to really get excited about.
Yeah. Hopefully the Falcons don't have a first round pick. We gave up everything for Julio Jones.
Yeah, I don't even care about as far as the Falcons' effect on the draft. I just want to see, you know, where everyone else goes and what trades are made and who moves up where.
Yeah. And we're coming for Matt Galloway. We got the Chiefs on.
To start the season, that'd be a loss. Yeah. Starting the season on the road in Kansas City, a hard place to play.
Mm-hmm. Well, the last time I believe the Falcons got run on, the last time they went there. But
I looked at the schedule before the show, and I think they can do. They'll at least finish over 500. I think this year's come up season.
Yep.
Depending on injuries and all that.
Good old stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I know, Larry, you wanted to talk about the Tupac hologram.
Yeah, man. Hopefully everyone's seen it by the time you hear this, but at the Coachella Music Festival in California this past weekend, Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg had a set where they did, you know, they essentially did tributes to Nate Dogg and Tupac. And for the Tupac tribute, they actually had a three-dimensional Tupac hologram performed with them on stage. Craziest thing you ever want to see. I mean, it actually looks really, really cool. It actually looks exactly like Tupac, tattoos, everything. They even got someone to do voiceover that's kind of sound like Tupac so he could say what's up Coachella and things like that. And you know, it was cool. It was cool. You know, on Twitter, a lot of people were freaked out and like proclaiming the return to the living of Tupac. Saw this 3D image of him and it's like, yeah, but. But for real, you can just go to YouTube, type in Tupac Coachella 2012, and Coachella is Coachella, and just check it out. Like I said, it's really, really, really cool. You know, Snoop Dogg does come out, and they both do Two America's Most Wanted,
mm-hmm.
And it's really, really cool. I think, like I said, it's the coolest thing you will probably see. You know, but it does. But I was talking with a friend of mine. It does open up, you know, a whole nother possible way of, you know, people making
making money off the dead.
Yep.
Right. You know, so we can very well see a full concert of a dead artist on stage.
We'll actually go into a concert. We're going to a concert.
We'll go see Michael Jackson in concert. Next year, kind of.
Saw a good argument someone brought up on Monday on Twitter. Give him a shout out, CJ Starchild. He was saying he wondered if Mrs. Shakur was okay with them
doing that.
Yeah, doing that.
Yeah. That would be cool to know.
I'm hoping it was. You know, they asked her. You know, got her blessing on it. But you know.
Trying to make some money off his name.
Yeah. Or it may have just been something that just came up, you know?
Right. I think, from like past interviews with Mrs. Shakur, I think the only person she really kind of sort of had a problem with was Suge Knight, you know? But I don't think she really had a problem with Drea Snoop, but, you know, but still, you know, hopefully they did get her blessings to, you know, to do that, you know? I mean, because, you know, that is her son, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But nevertheless, it is very, very cool. It is a very, very cool thing to see. You know, especially if you are a Tupac fan, you should definitely see it.
Oh yeah. All right. That's pretty much all I had. Did you have something you wanted to talk about, Tim, or are you good?
Yeah, I got a couple quick little bits. Let's see where to start. Sony confirms plans to shed 10,000 jobs amid shakeup. This was coming from the BGR website. Let me click the link open. I'll read a little bit from it. Sony on Thursday, this was back on April 12th. Sony on Thursday confirmed earlier rumors suggesting plans to release 10,000 workers during the course of fiscal 2012. The figure includes employees expected to leave Sony as part of various business sales, however. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, but not really too much about this, just about how they're trying to refocus some of their stuff.
They're just restructuring, and there will be casualties in restructuring.
Yeah, of course.
Casualties of war. Oh, here's a good one. The NBC rebooting The Office? This is from IGN. Let me open it up. With the future of NBC's Thursday night anchor in jeopardy, creator Greg Daniels is considering a fresh new cast. And it basically talks about how, you know, with James Spader and Rainn Wilson leaving the shows, Rainn Wilson to get his own spinoff show, there's been a lot of talk about what will become of the long-running NBC comedy next year. It has yet to be officially picked up for another ninth season, and much of the cast still has to re-up their contracts. Now Deadline is reporting that there are now serious talks about rebooting the series.
Wow. I can't believe it's been on that long, but yeah, it's been a while.
Wow, we're rebooting series now. Wow.
Well, they used the word rebooting loosely, basically just say like bringing a whole new cast, but sort of filtering some of the regulars in episodes here and there.
Yeah.
Sort of like how they use Scrubs as an example.
Right. Well, as long as it's fresh and it's funny, you're able to keep your audience, you know, because, you know, unfortunately, when the show's been on that long, you know, you had people fall in love with certain characters, you know, and once that starts to change, you know, that usually spells the end of a show. So,
yeah,
you know, so if they're going to do it, hopefully they can. You know, hopefully the turnaround will be kind of quick, and it's like, and everybody likes this new cast that they're trying to bring in.
Yeah, but you know, especially losing Dwight Schrute, you know, that's going to be kind of a tough one. I mean, when you lost Steve Carell, I honestly didn't fear anything when he left. I thought the show could still go on, and I've liked what they've done so far. I still think it's funny. And my wife thinks it's still funny too. And Ed Helms has done a good job, you know, pretty much stepping up, but you know, he's kind of now getting into that, you know, into the movie roles, and you know, he's a sought out actor after, you know, the Hangover movies.
Right.
So, yeah, we'll see what happens. I'm hoping, you know, I wouldn't mind it sticking around, but if they're going to lose a lot of the cast, that's going to be, you know, it may be one of those things where it just becomes an infamous show that, oh, yeah, it all of a sudden died off because all the cast left.
Yeah, it's already made its way off of my TiVo season pass.
No.
Yeah, I just had to give it up. It had a nice 7-year run with me.
Mm-hmm. Man, good show, though.
And that's all the news I had.
All right. This has been News with Click Nation.
And I guess we'll take a quick break, and we'll be back with more of the Click Nation podcast.
What began in DC Comics now comes to Cartoon Network. DC Nation.
Buckle up, people.
Let's put on a show.
My thoughts exactly.
Ew.
New DC Shows Weekly.
Let's move.
Green Lantern.
Oh, you want some? There's plenty for everybody.
And Young Justice.
Robin, Superboy.
You brought your utility belt? Never leave home without it.
Peek-a-boo.
Lots of DC shorts.
Titans, go!
Not so fast, Plastic Man.
I'll take care of this.
Easy peasy.
Neat, huh?
Insider looks at DC News.
Hey, I'm Trevor Bayne. I'm really excited to be here at the Warner Brothers Studios to check out the Batmobile.
Hey, I'm comic book artist Cully Hamner, and you're watching DC Nation.
DC fans.
You're watching DC.
DC.
Welcome to DC Nation.
Whoa. Hundreds of heroes.
It's go time.
Tons of villains. And you all make up a nation. DC Nation. Coming in 2012 to Cartoon Network.
And we're back with more of the Click Nation podcast. It's Tim Dog, the Adam Black, and Mr. Bant Fear.
And I was just shushed by my brother. That ain't even right.
Hell yeah.
He shut your ass. He shut your ass down too, big. God damn.
Trying to bring us back from break. Bitches talking.
You know what I'm saying? Exactly. You know what I'm saying? What's your goddamn problem? Skeezer!
Skeezer! I should do a whole show in the Booker T voice. Like he's doing commentary.
That would be funny.
What the hell?
Skeezer!
Behind the bowling alley.
Boy, that'd be so...
This show topic, we're going to talk about cartoons.
Sorry.
No. But not.
Yeah, I'm not going to do a whole show like that.
Please.
Especially since I haven't really paid attention to Booker T speak in a while. I wouldn't have his inflection down correctly.
Yes.
Do you think he's like the worst announcer? As far as
he's the most entertaining because he's funny.
Yeah.
Just listen to him.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're talking cartoons tonight, and we're talking DC Nation versus Marvel Universe.
Yay!
And what these two items are animation blocks on Cartoon Network and Disney XD. Cartoon Network. Airs the DC Nation, which includes the Green Lantern, the animated series, and Young Justice. And Marvel Universe includes Ultimate Spider-Man and Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
Mm-hmm.
And give a little background. Green Lantern, of course, DC and Marvel are both feuding comic book companies. DC involves properties like Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, Green Lantern, Flash. Marvel has, of course, the Avengers, X-Men, Spider-Man. I guess those are really the only big ones to know. And Green Lantern, the animated series, is a CGI show in the same manner as the Star Wars, The Clone Wars, and it's in its first season. And the Ultimate Spider-Man on Marvel Universe is in its first season as well.
Yes, and I just want to say, you know, as a comic book fan, this just, you know, warms my heart that, you know, I can look at something like this, you know, or that, you know, the medium is being, you know, shared with so many people, you know, on cable. But still,
yeah, it's good to see the comics we as kids and even as adults read and kept up with, seeing them on our own TV sets and seeing them portrayed in manners that that would make the comic books proud.
I'm happy.
We some happy campers.
Yes, we are happy. You know, because for years and years we got a lot of sucky cartoons. I mean, especially from Marvel. Marvel used to make some in like the '90s. All their cartoons suck from the '90s.
And actually, I'll be talking about that a little later. Just when we get to the part of which story like better, Marvel Universe or DC Nation.
That's a little preview. Damn it, just a little preview.
If you will.
And like I said earlier, the Green Lantern anime series has the CGI style, which I've seen some people complain about and said that they didn't like. And honestly, I wasn't too sure I was going to like it either. But after, I guess, about five, maybe six episodes into its first season, I'm definitely liking it. And the bad guys in this season are not Sinestro or any Yellow Lanterns. It's the Atrocious. How do you say it?
I think it's Atrocitus or something.
Atrocitus.
It's Atrocitus.
Atrocitus and the leader of the Red Lanterns, because they want to save Sinestro for a second season, I'm assuming. And also they ain't want it to... Well, I can say they ain't want to... take Parallel anything away movie. From the movie, yeah, but he wasn't really the villain in the movie to begin with. But I guess they want to save him. They were thinking the Green Lantern movie that we got last year was going to be good enough to warrant a sequel and have Sinestro as a villain. So I guess they wanted to save Sinestro to make his big appearance
on screen
and the big screen instead of small screen.
Right.
Even though as fans we know what's going to happen, but you know.
Anything else you want to talk about as far as the, I guess we can talk about the animation style for all the shows and then we can say which ones we like and don't like. Let's see, Young Justice. I have to say out of all the animation, I like Young Justice the best. I think they have the best character design and the fight scenes are definitely the best out of all from the four shows we're speaking of right now. Ultimate Spider-Man is new, and I enjoy its animation also. I'm trying to think, is it similar to anything from the past? Not really.
It really is kind of sort of its own thing, you know, really. But the couple of episodes I looked at, I did like the animation. I really did like the animation on that. I agree with you on Young Justice. Young Justice is the best looking of the four.
Yeah.
You know, animation wise. Anyway. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Avengers: Earth Mightiest Heroes is in its second season, and I'm sure that Young Justice is technically still in its first season, even though it's going on 2 years of being on the air. They split up the episode order greatly by showing like 8 episodes and then going on hiatus for like 6 months and then coming back and showing 8 more and taking another break. But I'd say the worst, and not saying worse as in, oh, this is horrible, but I think the Avengers has the worst animation to me.
Yet I still am okay with it.
Yeah, it's not bad.
When we first saw it online or whatever, a lot of people were like, "Oh man, I don't like this at all." And we thought for sure that series was going to bomb, but it turned out to be. The writing I think makes up for the animation not being superb, but at the same time, I still don't mind it.
Yeah. Right.
I think the reason why we don't mind is we grew up with, you know, like the Bruce Timm kind of
animation
style. And that's kind of sort of an offshoot of that, it's an over exaggerated version of it, but you know, I think we'll kind of let it slide because we're kind of used to that sort of thing anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I think that, and I think it's a uniquely kind of American style of animation that, you know, because you don't see it in Japanese animation or anything like that. You see that only in American cartoons. So,
And that's a good point about it having the best writing. Avengers definitely has the best writing of all four shows.
Oh, very much.
And
so.
That sort of reminds me of how some comic books are. Some of the popular comic books may not have the best artists on them, even though they usually try to put their, you know, big hitting artists and writers together. But sometimes you have, at least for, in my opinion, there's some artists don't bring the best to a book, but the writing more than makes up for it.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's the talk about the animation. Let's see what else we have. And I guess next we can talk about how all four shows hold up when compared to the comic book source material. Let's see, Green Lantern. Not too many people were checking for Green Lantern more than 5 years ago, but when the great writer Jeff Johns?
Yeah.
The mighty Jeff Johns.
When he took over writing of Green Lantern, he almost did a reboot for the series. He brought Hal Jordan back and did a nice job of explaining why he went crazy when he became Parallax, and he introduced all the entities into the Green Lantern mythos, like the Fear and the Fear Entity, and Fear and Rage and Hope and Willpower.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he basically opened up. He just took what was there and just, I mean, he took something that was basically simple, and just expanded on it so much that you, it's like, well, you know, we never thought about it, that it, there could be basically an emotional spectrum. But, and basically, if it weren't for what he did, like, basically this Green Lantern series would probably be very, totally different from what we're getting now. So, I kudos to him on that.
Yeah, I think that's a testament to Jeff Johns. I mean, because he's created a backstory in for Green Lantern that is like now, you know, it's kind of like that's always been there. He's created this mythos, and it's kind of like it feels like it's always been there. You know what I'm saying? It's just, you know, he made the character a lot more relatable instead of, you know, because, you know, for the longest time, Hal Jordan was kind of, you know, generic superhero guy, you know. Yeah. But I think Jeff Johns made him a lot more relatable to, you know, to the public, you know, and put him and put Green Lantern on the level of, you know, a Superman or a Batman or a Wonder Woman, you know, and this, you know, I mean, and the series, you know, definitely. I mean, I like the couple of shows that I did of the DC. I like the show. I mean, I think the writing is good. I've never been a big fan of CGI animation anyway. But you know, I'll let it slide. But I'm not a big fan of that animation. But you know, but like I said, the show itself, I think is pretty decent.
And one thing I'll add about the animation is when Clone Wars started, it wasn't bad. But as the season has gone on, they've made great improvements on the animation, that CGI style for that. So hopefully, the same thing will happen with Green Lantern.
Oh yeah.
And I like how you said how they made Hal Jordan more relatable. That's a good point.
Right.
And let's see, some other times we saw recently, at least in recent years, we've seen Green Lantern in animation is to some of the direct-to-video releases they've had with the Green Lantern.
Yes. There was First Flight and Emerald Knights were his two movies.
Emerald Knights was okay. But the First Flight pretty much, it was all right. First Flight, if you had the base of, I thought that was like a good pilot for a Green Lantern, TV, show right there.
Man, but, First Flight should have been the movie. That's the movie they should have made.
Yeah.
You know, really, if you want to be technical, that's the movie they should have made, was that movie.
I liked Emerald Knight just for introducing some of the origin stories of some of the other lanterns.
Yeah.
You know, because that really wasn't a Green Lantern movie. It was a Green Lantern core movie, so.
Yeah.
You know.
And it's nice seeing. I wonder if with the cartoon or the CGI show, if they'll introduce. Hopefully, you know, they'll introduce some other Lanterns besides Hal Jordan and Kilowog once they finally arrive back on Oa.
Yeah. Right.
And I guess I can give a little background on the. Well, actually, I'll save that because we'll talk. It was in their section talking about storyline.
Yeah.
But what were we discussing? Where are we? Animation style. Oh, how they held up to the source material. So yeah, comic books. We talked about the comic books and even talked about the straight to DVD for Green Lantern. Anything else you want to add with Green Lantern?
We'll get to it with the story.
Okay. So the next Young Justice. For those who don't know, well, a lot of people know that Young Justice comes from the Teen Titans comic book and, of course, the cartoon show. And there actually was a Young Justice series, which, of course, this name is based off of, that was around back in the early 2000s, I believe.
Mm-hmm. The late 90s, early 2000s.
Okay, I knew you'd know that.
Thanks.
And I actually was a fan of that series for a little time. Eventually, I stopped collecting physical books all together. But I've always been a fan of the young superhero team books, starting off with the X-Force and New Mutants and New Warriors in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, if done right, those are usually the best series to me. Even though as an adult now I like the Avengers books.
I'll say that for maybe later in the show or another episode. But for Young Justice, they are actually using some characters and believe even some storylines from the Young Justice book, because I'm in an episode not long ago. It might have been a while ago, because since they keep splitting the season up, but they introduced the character. Who was the... Dang it, now I forget the guy's name. I was going to call him Hush, but it's not Hush. Hold on, let me... Young Justice...
As he types it up.
Wiki. As you hate on me, speaking out what I'm typing.
Right. Yeah, well, I mean, that's you, dude, that's got to sign out everything you write down and type. We don't, you know. That's mm-hmm. you, dude.
I must find out this character's name.
I must find out the character's name.
Let's see. I go to the end and work backwards. Usual suspects, agendas, image, coaster, display. Oh, Harm.
Harm, I tell you, Harm.
Could they introduce Harm and his sister, who was the smoke girl that was in Young Justice?
What was it, Secret?
Secret. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, they introduced that episode starring both of them, and they were both introduced in the Young Justice comic book. And of course, they're also using the same another thing from the book. They're using Red Tornado to be their sort of
nanny mentor type thing,
and that they got that from the comic book as well.
Yeah.
And anything else? Let's see. Of course, there was the Teen Titans. A cartoon show, which some of the characters appear, like Robin was in Teen Titans cartoon show. Actually, I guess he's the only one.
Oh, okay. I thought you were gone. I'm sorry. Like, hello?
Yeah, we're still here.
Like, hello?
But yeah, I guess Robin was the only one that was in Teen Titans, because I see there was Beast Boy and Cyborg. None of them have been introduced.
Yeah.
I guess I'm waiting for to see if they're going to introduce the Terminator's name?
Deathstroke.
And if they introduce Terra or not, that'd be kind of interesting to see if they bring her into the series. Because they've just almost... What I like about Young Justice is they're treating it like Justice League Unlimited now, where you know they had the main cast, but then they're not afraid to add members to the team.
Or give you those nice DC cameos that we love.
Yeah, they're pulling from the vast vault of DC characters.
Right, yes.
Let's see. So that's Young Justice. And Ultimate Spider-Man, of course. The cartoon gets its name from the Ultimate Spider-Man comic book series, which takes place in the alternate Marvel universe. The main Marvel universe is called the 616. Not sure entirely off the top of my head why.
I can't remember what the ultimate, which number the Ultimate Universe is in, but I am really digging that show.
That show is actually very good. I dig the humor, man. It's extremely. I wasn't expecting that.
Oh no! Yeah, breaking the fourth wall and Spider-Man just like talking to the audience, saying, "Oh, this is why this happened, and now this is going to happen," and that type of thing, and it's totally different. I was not expecting that at all.
Yeah, and that doesn't the breaking of the fourth wall and all the jokes that doesn't happen in the actual Ultimate comic book, Ultimate Spider-Man comic book. Of course,
just for the show.
It's just for the show to make it. They wanted to make it a little different from previous Spider-Man. Cartoon shows.
Well, Ultimate Spider-Man ain't white, but
not anymore.
But I thought the show. I thought it was funny. I mean, it was. I totally did not expect that. We've seen every incarnation of a Spider-Man animated show. And then this one comes along. I like this one a lot. I really, really do.
Mm-hmm. And, and there's been a lot of Spider-Man cartoons because we were listing them the other, this past Saturday, and we're like, wow, it's a lot. It's like
9 or 10. It's about 9 or 10 of them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I guess when I saw the first, the pilot episode, which, I guess it was two episodes put together. I really enjoyed the comedy style, and then the last two episodes I've enjoyed, but not as much as the first. I don't know if the humor is wearing on me yet, or I think the humor is fine. I'm not liking the like Spider-Man and his amazing friends approach to the show.
I mean, that was different, and and kudos for them using some characters that have not been used in like Marvel animation before. Because if I'm remembering correctly, they have never used Luke Cage, or Iron Fist, and let alone White Tiger. So,
right.
The only beef I had was the fact that they chose someone else as Nova instead of Richard Ryder.
Good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a problem with the characters they selected because they have White Tiger looking pretty nice as when she's out of her costume.
Mm-hmm. Dude, that is a cartoon. Stop it.
I'm saying they drawed her nicely.
Okay.
Call it Spider-Man and his ultimate friends or something.
Ultimate friends. Hilarious.
And so, yeah, that's a good little Ultimate Spider-Man talk. And finally, we have Avengers, Earth's Mightiest Heroes. And they're pretty much following along with the comic book world as far as the storylines and how they're using characters and character representation goes.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the first season, we got hints at Marvel at a superhero registration. Now I'm trying to recall. Let's see. They introduced Ultron and Kang.
Yes.
They're teasing the Skrull secret invasion right now. Which, of course, everything, like I said, is coming from the comic books. They've introduced Captain or Miss Marvel. What are characters? Mockingbird. Who else happened to show up in the first season?
Oh, Captain. Well, you did say Captain Marvel, right?
Well, I said Miss Marvel, but actually, yeah, Captain Marvel did make an appearance too. They say they introduced Wonder Man, who went villain but might be turning back good now. But And Winter Soldier might make an appearance because they show Bucky.
Bucky came back, yeah.
Bucky's mm-hmm. back. Bucky's back.
Also screaming, Bucky's back. Bucky's back. But yeah, I'm really digging it. And you know, I want to mention that Captain Marvel they did use is the ultimate version with that costume and everything. But I was talking with Larry before. I'm like, is that is Avengers possibly one of the best Marvel cartoons that we've seen? I'm kind of leaning towards it may be.
I think it is. I think because they haven't – because, you know, Marvel has not had a cartoon on the level on the level of, say, a Justice League, as good as a Justice League or as good as, you know – well, nothing can ever be better than Batman animated series. Let's just get that on out of the way. I really think Marvel is now trying to concentrate on, you know, not so much the visual aspect of their animated shows, which is I think a lot of the problems that they had in the past. The writing is especially for Avengers is excellent. You know, I said Avengers is my favorite show of these four. You know, Avengers is definitely the best show there of this four, but I think Marvel is finally realizing that, you know, you just can't put something out with your characters in it and expect everyone to just automatically like it, because they love the characters. I mean, you know, but, you know, so, and which is a good thing, you know, which is a very good thing.
Yeah.
And see, there's never been a West Coast Avengers cartoon in the past, wasn't there?
No, that was.
Well, they called it Avengers, but it was basically the.
I call it Avengers West Coast because that's all it is.
Hawkeye was the leader.
No, yeah. Ant-Man was that. You talking about Avengers United They Stand? That it whatever was, it came on in the 90s, yes. I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it was terrible.
That was Hawkeye, Ant-Man, Vision.
Everyone had. Their Mighty Morphin Power Ranger outfits on, I believe, like wearing armor and
and of course no regular appearances by Captain America, Thor, or Iron Man,
right?
Which a lot of people had a problem with, but at the time there was legal reasons why they couldn't do it.
Yeah,
right.
I'm glad you brought up Hulk because I must say that the representation of the Hulk in the Avengers Earth Mightiest Heroes is my favorite representation of the Hulk because they using him the way I said the movies need to use the Hulk, and that is just use the Hulk. Do not show me Bruce Banner. I don't care about Banner. I don't care about puny Banner.
Yeah. The only time we give a damn about Bruce Banner if it's in the old TV show and it's David Banner played by the late, great Bill Bixby. That's it. Other than that, I really could give a shit. Even Edward Norton. And y'all know I love Edward Norton. Fuck him.
You mean Bruce Banner, not David Banner?
You know what the hell I mean, boy. Damn.
People like to point out mistakes on these shows.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Fuck Ed Norton. I didn't like him when they chose him anyway.
What?
I knew he was going to be problems.
Why? Because he didn't want to do it, or he couldn't.
He's giving his input on the set. Oh, Bruce Banner needs to do this or that. Just act. Shut your mouth and act.
Shut your mouth and act, bitch.
He thought he was too good for a comic book cartoon. I could see it in his eyes.
Oh, God.
I'm an actor.
Wow. Okay. That's a guest that won't be ever on the show, but, you know.
And I don't give a fuck if he don't be on this show. He can't whip my ass.
Yeah. He can't turn into the Hulk?
Oh. He can't turn into the Hulk. I will lay that little white boy out.
Tell him, bring it.
Bring it, bitch. Bring it.
So I thought he was good in the movie.
Man, whatever.
He wasn't bad, put it that way.
Yeah, he wasn't bad, but you know, I still have Bill Bixby stuck in my head. So you know,
yeah,
it's kind of like Superman. I got Christopher Reeve stuck in my head. It just can't change for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you know, and like I was telling, and Tim, like I was telling Rodney, the Hulk is my favorite character on that show. I mean, I think Hulk is he's the best thing on that show to me. He really, really is.
I like his buddy relationship with the Hawkeye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's funny. That serves for some funny moments.
I'm just digging the dynamics between the team members, period. You know, especially Captain America and Iron Man, that, you know, the guy who's from the past who, you know, loves just reading a paper, as opposed to, you know, Captain America Iron Man, who would pull out an iPad or something or have the news read to him by his computer or whatever. You know, he's fine with that.
Right.
But, you know, I like the Wasp and her relationship with Hank Pym. I mean, I'm just digging the whole relationships between the characters.
I wonder if they're going to ever do like an Ant-Man Wasp, spousal abuse episode. Never mind.
Well, given the fact that it's aimed at kids, I doubt we'll ever see that.
Yeah, that might not happen.
Yeah.
I'll save that for my version. All right.
Yeah, we want it just like the comic books, folks.
Right. But yeah.
Yep, we're not down for wife beating, but if it happened in the comics.
Hey, it needs to happen in the movie.
So, yeah, that's the source material for all four shows. And actually, we talked about some of the storylines for a couple of them. So, we talked about, we talked about how Young Justice has pulled some character traits and some tidbits from the comic book and Young Justice, Green Lantern, the animated series, a little too new. But I guess right now, as far as I know, that the stories they've shown on, I don't believe, are coming from any of the comic books, because they're basically just sort of spanning space and running into different characters on their trip, trying to get back home to warn the Guardians and whatnot about the Red Lanterns.
And I thought at first I think that approach was good, because that you don't want to see just Green Lantern or Hal Jordan on Earth, you know, doing his thing. You know, Green Lantern should be in space at some point. I'm glad they kind of started it off in space. That way you get to see the rest of the Green Lantern universe and that type of thing. I was kind of mad that they chose putting in the other lanterns in the beginning of the show, but now they've made one of the lanterns kind of the Red Lanterns their partner. So,
right.
You know, spoilers. But I'm liking it. I'm happy to see comics on TV anyway. So, I'm digging what's happening. I'm really am.
Yeah, I think we just go at it that decent. Decent cartoons, comic book cartoons on TV now.
Yeah.
Again, finally.
Talked about Ultimate Spider-Man, of course, is also too new, and it's actually, I don't believe, is borrowing anything from the comic books, because it's just basically Spider-Man and team-ups.
Yeah, yeah.
And we talked about some of the stuff Avengers is using it's using almost everything from the comic books and using it well. Voice acting. Do we have any thoughts on the voice acting on all four shows?
Tim, you pointed out that Harry Osborn sounds like a 30-year-old man.
Yes,
and I totally agree with you.
He spoke. He finally spoke on this last past weekend's show, and I was like, "What?
Right.
His voice sounds deeper than mine."
Yeah. Right.
Hey, Peter.
You know what I'm saying? Exactly. That right, I'm agreeing with you. That right there is probably my only beef.
Good memory, because I totally forgot about that.
Yeah.
Everyone else sounds fine for now.
Right.
That's Hal Jordan. That's my only fine.
Out of all of those cartoons, that's my beef.
Yeah. And I'm digging. I'm okay with the cast. You know, pretty much. You know, I'm especially loving the cast of the Avengers.
Yeah, everyone had their face part on. I guess. Oh, we could talk about how they've changed the ethnicity of a character or two. Maria Hill.
Besides Nick Fury.
Well,
Nick Fury.
I mean, we
Maria
know
Hill running out all Latino and whatnot. Like, Maria Hill.
I told Eclectic that she may be Latina since they already have a black person with Nick Fury. He thinks right. She's supposed to be with those hips. She's supposed to be black. He said.
And Jennifer Lopez ain't got hips. Come on, dude.
Exactly.
And Jennifer Lopez. She fit like that.
Yeah. Yep. And is Wasp? Is she's not Asian like in Ultimate Universe? Is she?
No, I think she's still
real
white.
Wasp.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's what I figured. So yeah, character change. Yeah, but see, voice, Hulk's voice is fine. I like from Green Lantern. I like Kilowatt's voice.
Yeah.
No one besides Harry Osborn is horrible.
Right.
I don't know.
They need to change that immediately.
Or just don't have him show up in too many episodes.
Right.
Well, this is Spider-Man, so you know there's always the possibility eventually he'll become some supervillain.
Whatever. There in the background. I guess Dr. Octopus's voice is a little too, like, what's the word I'm looking for?
Yeah, that is a different take on him.
Too creepy. He's trying to be all creepy and sort of like, I'm a monster. Don't look at me.
What?
Yeah, he's like, you know, just he's in just always in the shadows. You never see him. You see his goggle glasses and his tentacles.
Right. I'm a monster. Oh, don't look at me. I am horrid. Don't look at me. That's funny.
That's a little different take. Go back to talk about some of the stuff they're doing in the show. Ultimate Spider-Man, they changed Venom, his origin, because supposedly he's the evil part from Peter Parker. Somehow,
well,
his blood or something.
That was actually that's how they created Ultimate Carnage in the comics.
But this was Venom.
Yeah, I know. That's what I was saying. That was actually created from his blood. But the Venom suit in Ultimate version was actually it was created by man as opposed to the regular one that came from space. But it's different. It's definitely different.
And Kurt Connors has both his arms.
Yes.
Yeah. We'll eventually probably figure out there will probably be some accident somewhere along the line.
It might not even be an accident.
Dude, it's a kid's cartoon. They ain't going to chop that arm off.
If I say, if he doesn't start with it off, he's not going to lose it.
Right. They're not going to chop his arm off now. Are you serious? Cartoon.
No, they'll do it. I mean, I don't think nowadays, they will take
not
whatever
on
steps.
That, not on that cartoon. That cartoon is way too humorous and way too
lighthearted. Kiddie.
In the kid vein for that. If he was on Young Justice, they would cut his arm off on the second episode.
My arm! Yeah, so, I see that still happening.
He'll probably still become Lizard, but they're not going to cut his arm off.
I don't know. Well, I guess... I don't know. Take away that, would that change the character, though? That's interesting. I guess they could always say, you know, he was trying to come up with something for another super soldier serum or something
right.
Because, yeah, I'm sure Captain America or Iron Man will eventually make an appearance on that show.
Yeah, is it supposed to be in the same universe as the Avengers?
No, because there's a picture I put on the website, theclicknation.com, of a bunch of heroes assembled from the Avengers, Earth's Mightiest Heroes episode, and Luke Cage is in it, and he's a grown-up.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And Spider-Man's in it, too, but the Luke Cage we saw was an adult, so it's not the actual same universe. It would be cool if it was, but it's not. So there's that. And I guess we can also talk about who our favorite characters are from each show. I don't know if there's much of a cast from Green Lantern to speak of.
Right, I mean, you know.
It's more
fun.
Yeah, it's more fun with the big ensemble cast like Young Justice, for example.
Yes.
Who's y'all's favorite Young Justice characters?
Dang, it's hard. I kind of like Superboy because of the fact that he is an artificial being, and you know the fact, you know, he has to struggle with emotions. He has to struggle that he's a clone of a guy who really doesn't really care about him, or he kind of feels kind of cold. He's kind of cold towards Superman's kind of cold towards Superboy. At least in the episodes I've seen. I haven't seen all the episodes, but. You know, I guess it would be kind of, he's being honest as far as his feelings towards him.
Yeah, he's a clone of him. I wouldn't want to be cool with that dude either.
Yeah.
I'm like you. I dig Superboy. I definitely dig Aqualad. I think Aqualad is like, Aqualad's the shit.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the character was so important, they had to make sure he got included into the mainstream DC universe, too. So, well, at least at that time, I don't know if he's shown up in the new version or not.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
But, he's probably my next favorite character. And they made him a leader, which is awesome.
Right.
My favorite would have to be Red Arrow.
Yeah.
Red Arrow.
You know, he's not a main member. He has, of course, appeared on plenty of episodes. That's like his attitude. He's like, you're a traitor. You're going to betray the team. And he's all business.
Yeah.
And he's a badass. And
yep. He ain't speedy anymore.
Yeah, he's not a little speedy.
Which I never liked that name. Anyway,
you're not speedy. I like that first episode where they were making jokes when all the sidekicks were walking to the Hall of Justice and the crowd was there to see them. They thought they were going to be inducted as
new members.
And they were like, "Oh, look, it's Robin. Look, it's Kid Flash. Look, it's Speedy. Oh, Speedy is Speedy Kid Flash? No, that's." Speedy's not Sidekick Flash's name. That's the one with the arrow. Why is the one with the arrow named Speedy?
Yeah, never liked that name.
You can hear people in the crowd discussing it. Like, that name doesn't make sense.
And so it doesn't.
You know, they've gotten rid of the name twice in the DC universe, so.
Now he's just red. If a guy can be called Green Arrow. Someone that uses red colored thing can be called Red Arrow.
I can go with that.
Yeah, I was going to say, I agree with that. And let's see, from the small cast that we've seen on The Ultimate Spider-Man, who would y'all favor? Or just Spider-Man himself?
Other than Spider-Man himself, Luke Cage is pretty cool. Luke Cage and Nick Fury are like really, really cool.
Oh yeah. Yeah, Nick Fury is just so cool.
Yeah, he's pretty funny when he gets all pissed off.
Right. It's like Samuel Jackson Nick Fury.
I like Agent Coulson too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you got a little Agent Coulson, man. He's like the man, you know. Agent Coulson's the greatest. He's so funny.
And finally, Avengers: Earth's Mightiest Heroes. Who do we like?
Well, like I said, I love the Hulk. He's my favorite character on the show. I love the Hulk. I love Thor because I've been a Thor fan forever, and it's good to see him, you know, actually done with a little bit of, you know, seriousness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, Captain America. You know, I mean, it's Captain America. I mean, how can you not like Captain America?
Right.
You know, it just makes no sense. And then Tony is Tony, you know.
I always assumed Captain America was the leader of the Avengers, and like seeing Iron Man as a leader, I'm like, huh?
I think that may have had to do with the movie too.
Yeah, at one point in time he became the leader.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I know he leads now, but I don't know. It's always in my mind Captain America is the leader. That's it.
One of my favorite characters is Hawkeye. I like his character a lot. Trying to think, I like Hawkeye, I like Wasp, Hulk, of course. And Iron Man. I think they managed to get some of that smarminess from Robert Downey's character or portrayal of him, and managed to put him into that show.
Yeah. That's an interesting swarming. I never thought to describe him as that, but he is definitely the used car salesman over there.
But if
I were to pick one, I'd probably go Hawkeye again, too. I guess I like watching the archers in action, as far as at least in animation form.
Mm-hmm.
Hulk's all right. Like I said, since he's not Banner, he's just Hulk.
Yeah.
I can roll with that. So that talks about the characters. So we have the DC Nation shorts versus Marvel mashups. And basically what the DC Nation shorts are, they're short and, quick, couple-minute-long animation shorts involving some different characters from the DC cast of characters. And the Marvel mashups are just old Marvel cartoon show clips taken and cut and spliced together with new audio.
New voice
add and edit to it to make it more comical.
With a humorous twist.
Yes.
Yeah.
Have you any thoughts on that?
I really can't talk about the DC Nation shorts, but I haven't actually seen any. But, the Marvel mashups, I'm like, it's funny, but, it's nothing to jump right up and down about.
Yeah. And some of the stuff, you'll get a few chuckles out of it, but otherwise,
Yeah. And I think with a lot of the jokes, they're kind of shooting over kids' heads. I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
With the DC Nation?
The Marvel mashup. A couple of them, I think you're kind of shooting over the kids' heads with a couple of those jokes. It's like,
Larry, guess what I'm seeing right now on TV?
What, bitch?
A commercial for Dark Shadows, the movie.
Oh. God,
it's terrible.
Goddamn.
I have it on mute, and I'm like, oh god, this has got so much humor in it.
Oh, trust me, listeners. When we do our summer movie preview show, I will be ranting about Tim Burton and the hack that he is.
And that summer blockbuster show will be next week.
Next week, bitches, tune in. Goddamn it.
One DC Nation. Short that I did enjoy was the Shazam burger or sandwich. Oh, I believe
the Shazam witch.
The Shazam witch, and
that was funny. That was the only one I liked.
Each letter in Shazam stood for an ingredient. S
I would
for
like
salt.
To see that.
H for helium, and it was crazy.
Yeah,
you can, if you Google Shazam and DC Nation short on YouTube, I think you can find it.
I will be doing that tonight.
Yes, that was funny. And like I said, the Marvel mashups probably might go over some of the kids' heads. They're good, at least they're reusing their own footage, so hey.
I mean, me and Larry both want that old school Hulk series from 1982 to be put available to like on DVD or Blu-ray or something, because or at least
Netflix. I mean, hell, you got Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends. You got Spider-Man show from 81. Could I please get that Incredible Hulk cartoon? Please.
Yes.
Someone at Marvel, please put it out there. Please for me.
Yes.
I promise you, I will look at it.
Yeah, we don't need to spend too much time on those shorts. So I guess we'll finish up with saying, who do you got, DC Nation or Marvel Universe?
Is this their entire little catalog of animated movies and shows together? Is that what this? Dealing with these four shows right now, I will go with Marvel Universe.
Rodney?
I have to lean Marvel, yes.
Yes. I guess I'm going to be the only DC Nation person.
What?
He's saying it's a surprise because I've always been a pro Marvel over DC everything.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed Young Justice so much. And Green Lantern, the animated series, has surprised me and doesn't suck. I have to give the nod to DC Nation. And this also goes with Marvel, of course, having all the great movies. And not like Batman movies suck, but they haven't been as successful with other properties in their movies. And DC seems to always have the better animated projects.
That is true.
I'm still just dealing with these four shows, but still, Green Lantern and Young Justice seem to me right now are better than the Avengers and Ultimate Spider-Man.
Dude, there's no animated show on TV right now that is better than the Avengers. None.
Young Justice. It's got a deep storyline too.
It's a close second. It's a very close second. But it's not as good as that Avengers cartoon.
I think the story so far in Ultimate Spider-Man is matching up better than Green Lantern to me. So that's why I'm leaning towards.
This is Spider-Man and Basic Training.
But still.
True. Yeah. And hell, that damn Green Lantern CGI shit is just throwing it off for me. I'm not a fan.
Yeah, I'm the only one that's a fan of that.
Cool. But hey, you go in DC, we gonna go Marvel, have at thee.
And you have to stay tuned to see if that changes or not. Our opinions may change.
Right.
We have a right to change.
So that about wraps up our discussion for DC Nation versus Marvel Universe. Make sure to let your voice be heard by leaving us some comments. You can email us at theclicknation@gmail.com is our email address. Also, feel free to leave Stitcher radio reviews and iTunes reviews. I'm actually not sure if it's possible to leave Stitcher reviews, but I'm assuming it is. Of course, our website is the email address again. TheClickNation.com is the email address. Facebook.com/TheClickNation. Google Plus page is just search for TheClickNation. I think I've hit all the Twitter. Is at the Click Nation. And of course, again, our Twitters are TimDogg98.
@Adam_Black@Twitter.com.
And Mr. Bamf, MISTABAMF. Badass motherfucker. Just in case if you need to know what the hell Bamf stands for.
Because you know you do.
Exactly.
And I guess you guys want to give any shout outs to anyone?
Anyone, Larry?
Who am I? Who am I shouting out? Let me shout out my boy Tim, who keeps fucking with my Avengers embargo. Let me shout my boy Tim out. Tim, evil ass, is trying to get me to. He continuously posts Avengers shit for me to try and look at. That's what he does. He does this to me. I am on an Avengers embargo. No more Avengers shit until May 4th. Shout out to Tim for trying hard.
And yet, and he's referring to me posting, sharing everything on Facebook for him to see and make sure he doesn't try to look at it.
Exactly.
But yet, all the sharing I have been doing this week and even last week, today I saw a new clip and I did not share it just because of you.
Thank you, Tim. I greatly appreciate that.
It was a pretty good clip. I'm about to take an embargo myself. I say anything that comes out the rest of this week, I'll look at. Even though it's only Tuesday as of this recording, I still have a bunch of days left to be spoiled. But maybe next week, after this week is over, I won't look at anything else.
Right. Nothing else. No more. You know. I'm fighting the urge to actually read a description of the post-credits scene that's after Avengers 2. I'm fighting that urge.
Really. Oh, yeah. I know it's out there.
It's out there. I saw an article that was about to describe it. I did not click on it. I do not want to know.
Actually, I read an article that talked about it.
Right. I don't want to fucking know.
So, yeah, he's shouting me out for being a hater.
Right. Pretty much. You know. Oh, I got another shout out. Shout out to Blu-rays. Yes. If you got a high-def television, please get you a Blu-ray player. Shout out to Blu-rays. Fuck a DVD. Oh, my God.
If this was a video podcast, this would be where Larry like holds up a Blu-ray to show his love for it.
Show my love for Blu-ray. God. Fuck a DVD. Standard definition? You really want to look at something that's going to give you standard definition on your big, beautiful, brand new, high-def television? Fuck no. You want a Blu-ray player. You want a Blu-ray player. That's what you want. That's what you need. That's what you need to survive. Get one, bitches. Get one.
Get it.
Get it, bitch. Get it. Catch it while it's hot.
All right.
Shout out for you, Rhett.
Of course, shout out to William B. West on Twitter, at William B. West. He always posts funny stuff. He had a great article on his blog about, I believe it was him, about the meeting of Spider-Man, Ultimate Spider-Man, and mainstream Marvel Universe Spider-Man, and why it needs to happen.
Mm-hmm. I'm on the other side of the fence on that one.
Oh, you don't think it should happen?
No.
I don't know. I mean, you know, I'll just do a wait and see. I'm just going to do a wait and see because, you know, I was kind of, when Joe said he wasn't going to have them meet, I thought for sure that would probably never happen, but eventually it was going to happen. You knew they were going to meet. The universes were going to intermingle. You know, if they keep them apart afterwards, that'll be even better.
Yeah. But yeah, he's a good guy on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. And I just started following a group called on Twitter called Failed Pilot. Let me find some witty sayings. Because they basically list pilots that shouldn't be that, you know, were just dumb ideas for pilots. Let's see their latest Small Wonder Years. A defense contractor tries to pass off a robot. Kevin K.E.V.I. as his son in 1968. The Devil in Webster, when George Papadopoulos sells his soul to the devil, is up to his adopted son, now a famous lawyer, to defend him. Stranger Danger, from the creator of Cash Cab, a game show where kids are asked to enter a van to answer trivia questions for cash prizes.
What? Yo.
The B team, in these tough economic times, if you don't have enough money.
Hold on. Go back.
Stranger Danger.
Right again. Read that again. What was that for? Right,
from the creator of Cash Cab, a game show where kids are asked to enter a van to answer trivia questions for cash prizes.
Jesus Christ.
Man.
Oh, God. So a reach around is what they get if they lose, right?
Oh, God. Shoot, you may have to delete that one off, Tim. Let's see. The B team.
What?
In these economic times, if you need if you can't afford the A team, you can hire the B team, which I think was on a cartoon Robot Chicken short. But yeah, follow all their. They've got a whole bunch of failed pilots and stuff like that. Damn, I'm not going to do this Touch by Angel one either, man.
Oh, damn. Yes. No, I probably got 5 jokes waiting to go.
He ready?
I'm ready, and they all fucked up.
Oh, T.J. Hooker, this remake of the classic 80s drama stars Chris Pine as the title character because he lost an unfortunate bet. But yeah, failed pilot. That failed pilot on Twitter.
Check them out.
All right.
My usual shout outs to the Code Slither Podcast crew, CodeSlitherPodcast.com, the Eclectic Discussion Podcast, find them on iTunes and Stitcher Radio also, General Geekery, _ Fire, let's see, Nick Jew, Get Off My Planet, both on Twitter, Big Ben, I Am Big Ben, 87, believe that's his name. Tatum 216, they're always listening to our shows. Appreciate them. David, but make sure I get David's punk ass Twitter name right. And I say that lovingly because that's my boy.
Damn, David.
David Mac 90. He's a comic book fan also. I go back and forth with him on Twitter a little bit. It's been kind of fun. Pushing each other's buttons.
What?
Who else can I shout out? Yeah, I guess that's it. Hopefully I haven't missed anyone. If I have, apologies to you. I feel bad for your apology, son. I got 99 problems.
Oh, gosh.
But a bitch ain't one.
Your apology ain't one.
Right. Boxes. Oh, one more shout out. Shout out to Facebook beefs. Yo, I got in a Facebook fight like yesterday. It was hilarious.
He's fine with he got beef with.
Man, I was coming on my homeboy's page. Like he put a picture of like world's suckiest rappers, and they had like Lil Boozy on there and Gucci Mane, Soulja Boy, a couple other cats. You know, I just made a little joke, little crack on Lil Boozy, called him a night bug. He needs to stay in jail, man. This chick went off on me. I wasn't even talking to her. This bitch just went off on me.
So you were commenting on someone else's page and they jumped in?
Yeah. She decided to point to address what I said. Totally ignoring all the other negative shit that other people said about Boozy's ugly ass, but you know.
Damn.
You know, she decided to, you know, come at, you know, the world's greatest asshole, and now and I had to shut this bitch down.
That was the wrong move.
Yeah.
Right. So shout out the dumbass bitches starting fucking Facebook fights over random niggas that they don't even know. Okay.
Nor will ever meet.
Nor will ever meet.
Don't let me meet you in a dark alley.
Whatever, nigga.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Shout out to Facebook.
Didn't you coin the phrase back in the day, MySpace gangster?
Yes, I did.
I used to love getting in them fights on website forums.
Oh yeah, man. Yeah, Well, you know, the Click has been, you know, fighting the good fight on, you know, on forums and social medias, you know, sites for years. You know, whenever we see stupidity, we address it, and you know, hey, we put people in their place. you know.
I make my comment, shake my head, and move on.
We as in Larry.
Well, you know, Larry just
I don't give a fuck.
I more laugh at the comments than anything.
The only beef I got. No, go ahead. I was saying I'd be observing.
Yeah.
I, for the most part, observe. The only time I got into, like, a Facebook issue was when Busted Open, shout out to them at Busted Open Radio, they were posting up. It was, like, during the 4th of July. They were doing a radio show about wrestlers that should be on a Mount Rushmore. And I made a thread and started, you know, what? These are the wrestlers that I would put on my jobber hall of, you know, my Mount Rushmore of jobbers. And, you know, people I put in my four, people were coming in saying, oh, yeah, what about this person? What about this person? And then one guy got mad because I said Sam Houston was a jobber. Now, in WWE, Cat was a
jobber. Sam Houston was a fucking jobber in WWE.
Yeah.
Folks put on capes for Sam Houston.
Same.
This is marking out for Sam Houston. Yeah. Really? Don't do it, dude.
Yeah, but I'm like, and he's like, no, he's not a jobber. He was a heavyweight champion here in Texas. I'm like, I don't care. He was a. I'm talking about WWE.
That's funny.
It is pretty funny.
I was like, man, come on. If you can't, we talking about, you know, I'm like, I know what it's about, so obviously right. You're just taking this crap way too serious.
Way too fucking personal.
Go get a drink somewhere.
Yeah.
You know,
take a
yeah,
seat.
You know.
Can't believe that guy thought Sam Houston was a jobber.
I'm saying, like, motherfucker, you like, motherfuckers, y'all getting pissed off because somebody said something derogatory about a motherfucker you don't even know? Really? Come on.
He's all like breaking furniture and stuff.
You know what I'm saying? That's like me getting pissed off because somebody said that Nas got Jay-Z on Ether. Yeah, he did. Sorry, Jay. I love you, Jay. Jay, if you ever get to hear my podcast, Nas got you on Ether, dude. He got you. That shit's fucking funny. And yes, you do look like a camel, nigga. Love you, Jay.
Yeah, Jay's always welcome on the podcast.
You want to on the podcast? I'll let your boy. Now he probably won't come because I called his ass a camel. Look, he told him he looked like a camel.
I'm sure that's not the first time he's heard that.
I hope not. Yeah, I'm still by your office, Jay.
Yeah, I mean, they were doing pictures of that shit online years ago.
Yeah.
He do look like one.
He do. But anywho.
So that's in the shout-outs, I believe.
That is the end of shout-outs.
Once again, thank you for listening to the Click Nation podcast. I'm Tim Dog signing off.
Peace.
Deuces.
This wasn't no movie. The smart thing was to say yes, get up, and leave the room. But then I thought to myself, what if this was a movie? Look, you... the plane you flew in on, them shoes, your socks with the bell on it, your gay ass accent, them cheap ass cigars, your yuck mouth teeth, your hairpiece, your chocolate, Guy Ritchie, Prince William, the Queen. This is America. My president is black and my Lambo is blue, nigga. Now get the out of my hotel room. And if I see you in the street, I'm slapping the out of you.
Fourth pack is back, cause I'm mass destruction. Guess you see it, the bad boys arresting. Just in competition when the war does their mission. Not no mercy, see the rage on the street. If you don't know, you better find out the wolf pack. A point number one, best believe that you don't want to tussle with them. I'll be there for them, coming to grave with them. You're never walking out again until you're back on the wolf pack. Until you're back on the wolf pack. You might wind up in a body bag.